Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, a whole lot on the line for the football team as they head into the final week of the regular season. Basketball had a really busy week on the road. Bowling team with a nice weekend. But we're going to start with volleyball today. And after winning the Western Division title in the regular season, Brian Gerwig's crew was at the Sun Belt Tournament in Foley, Alabama over the weekend. They swept Southern Miss in the quarterfinals on Friday, knocked out defending champion Texas State on Saturday in the semis. Then in Sunday's championship, they took down James Madison.
I mean, their draw was tough either way you slice it. They were going to have to play a team in the quarterfinals. Either way, they'd given them fits, whether it was Southern Miss or Georgia State. They were going to take on a Texas State team that by the time they got to semis had won 9 straight and was actually the second highest RPI team in the league behind James Madison. Been a little bit of our nemesis. I mean, you knew that team that beat you in the finals last year was between you and the finals this year. That was going to be they had a tough draw. You know, the seed's pretty well held and that the semifinals were the three top teams in the West. You know, us and Texas State and South Alabama and then James Madison from the East. And, you know, James Madison had to come back and win in 5 sets in the semis too against South Alabama to make it the one seed from the West against the one seed from the East with the championship on the line.
That's the way it should be, right? Yep. So I remember mentioning on the podcast last week that Brian Gerwig kind of going into the tournament saw the draw and said, look, it's going to be really tough on our side of the draw for the same reasons that you mentioned, just who they might be playing. Well, they handled Southern Miss pretty good. They beat them in straight sets. And then you got to Saturday in the semis, and you mentioned Texas State had won 9 in a row. Well, their last loss was the Red Wolves. They had lost their 2 matches in Jonesboro. So you knew they'd be fired up for another opportunity. On the flip side, A-State was looking for a little bit of revenge as well after losing to them in the championship match a year ago. So I guess we shouldn't have been surprised that that match went to 5 sets. The Red Wolves ended up coming out on top. And then, look, you get to Sunday's championship. It was good to see our girls kind of come out and get off to a good start, taking the first set. James Madison came back and won the second set, but then the Red Wolves won the last 2, 1-4. So it all ended in a Sun Belt Conference championship. Could not be more thrilled for the volleyball
team.
That's
some symmetry. You're down on the Gulf Coast. It's A-State and James Madison in the championship game, a James Madison team that was considered probably to be the best in the league, highest ranked team in the league. 2 teams didn't play in the regular season.
Where have we heard this
before?
I don't know.
It's
seems so familiar. Of course, that's what happened in Pensacola last March with women's basketball. So history has repeated itself in a sense. But it's the 7th tournament title in program history and the first since 2015. Addison Collum and podcast alum Peyton Van Veen named all tournament.
Yeah, Peyton was a beast.
She had 14 kills. So did Addison in the championship match.
That was a career high for Peyton. Saved her best for last. And the 2 of those, because they were just kind of always on that right side, just sort of rotating through for one another. And they were both, really good.
And then another podcast alum, Deidreana Kale, named most outstanding player in the tournament.
I thought that, we could have had another one, another podcast alum on the all-tournament team, too. And
Mia.
Yep.
Our buddy Mia Maloney.
She certainly was great in the tournament also.
Yes, she was. Just couldn't be more happy for Coach Gerwig and, anybody who's heard his journey, whether it be here on the podcast, the times that he's come in and everything that he's gone through personally and just everything he's invested into this program to see it pay off now.
Well, and what he's dealt with personally even this season is that he had back surgery not all that much before the season and has dealt with that throughout the course of the season. So I know he's coaching, but he's coaching through some pain too. And then, obviously the other parts you mentioned there, just is a guy you want good things for. It's a team you want good things for. And I'm assuming we'll gather up Sunday evening up in the tower, I think, at Centennial Bank Stadium and gather up and watch a selection show again.
5 o'clock Sunday on ESPN. That's when the NCAA selection show is. And I saw somewhere where the RPI is in the low 50s now. So I would think that would help generate a pretty decent seed.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it was 61 going into yesterday. And obviously you picked up a top 50 win. So maybe it's a good boost. My hope is that when the selection show rolls around Sunday, maybe, just maybe, Arkansas State won't be the last team announced like it was on the women's show.
Yeah, that A-State-UConn matchup was the last one. So hopefully that's not the case. We can have a little less drama. Yeah, always exciting when you know that your team's going in and just kind of waiting for that destination. But they've been tested this year. Yeah. The non-conference schedule that they played was so tough. And they've beat a nationally ranked opponent this year in Missouri. And the experience against teams like that can't help.
Well,
but
I don't
help
think
them.
They'll be a top eight seed, which means they'll be an underdog.
Sure.
And I want this team being an underdog. They love that. And, you know, teams are different. But, like, this team has just been so comfortable being the underdog that I think this sets up for them. I would not want to play them in the NCAA tournament.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same: you first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And we welcome you back into the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Let's talk football here. Red Wolves hosted the Cajuns on senior night this past Thursday. Heartbreaking loss for the Red Wolves. There's no getting around that part. Coming up just 1 yard short in a 34-30 loss. This was just such a strange game, the way it played out. There are just so many different chapters in it. The way this game started, I honestly thought we were going to blow them out.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Couldn't have asked for a better start the first 7 minutes or so. And after the strip sack and the scoop and score, Cody Sigler able to score after the strip sack by Nolan Asbury, it's 10-0. Cajuns get the ball right back. We force them to punt. We're about to field the punt and try to go down and score again to add on to the 10-point lead. And you muff the punt. They get the short field. They score. It's 10-7. Then you get the ball right back, and you fumble on the first offensive play. They take advantage of the short field again, and it's 14-10 Cajuns. And you're thinking, we've dominated this football game.
Yep. Yep.
And all of a sudden, we're down. So it was just strange the way it played out. And all of a sudden, there was all kinds of momentum on the other sideline. Now, that said, our guys kind of close the half strong. You take a 3-point lead. It was 27-24 at halftime. It just seemed like all the highlights in this game were in the first half, because there wasn't much scoring in the second half.
And I would like to go back and put the first quarter on the clock. That may be the longest quarter of football I've ever seen. The first quarter.
It was long.
Forever. Because of scoring and turnovers. And, you know, it was a long quarter. And, yeah, I'm with you. Coach has said it before. You don't ever know, you know, three or four plays change a game. You don't ever know which ones they are. But, you know, fortunately, the mishandled punt really kind of started a momentum swing. It looked like you may be off to the races early in that one.
Still, it's 34-30 Cajuns, 2:26 to go, and the Red Wolves get the football back. We've seen this so many times where A-State has a chance to drive down and win the game. And, you know, more often than not, over the last couple of years, A-State has been successful in those situations. Now, they had the bad taste in their mouth from the week before against Southern Miss, where you come up 13 yards short, but you get the ball at your own 10 and just methodically moving the ball down the field. I mean, you give yourself an opportunity at the 2-yard line. with 3 seconds to go, and it comes down to that final play, and unfortunately, you come up just a yard short. And what a crazy final play it was.
You know, what's nuts is that, I mean, this, you talk about the razor-thin margins between winning and losing, is that the last two home games have come down to the last play of the game. And if we made those two plays, you've already won the West outright.
Isn't that amazing?
Two plays.
That's what it comes down to. Unfortunately, you combine that. I mean, two losses come down to two plays and a total of 14 yards. You're 14 yards away from winning the West. Instead, you're in a position now where you're 5-6 going into the last week of the regular season, and you're still trying to become bowl eligible for a third straight year, which would be a big deal. But there's another team on the other side Saturday that's in the same situation, in Appalachian State. They're trying to become bowl eligible as well. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out Saturday in a very chilly Boone, North Carolina. I think the high is 36, the low's 24.
And there are people going to turn out.
They will. They always do.
They're going to be there. They were there last Saturday to keep them in the hunt for a bowl, and they're going to be there. I mean, you tip your hat to them. They will have a crowd Saturday.
And you've seen it. Their student section is unrivaled.
It is, yep.
Especially in our league.
Yep.
Really, across the country, there's not many student sections that even come close.
I'm hoping they're still on Thanksgiving break, but we'll see.
That's what I'm kind of hoping, too, that a lot of them stay home, but just knowing that fan base and the way they turn out, they're probably going to have a very good crowd with a large student turnout. So both teams at 5-6. There's actually another game being played Saturday in the league. Georgia Southern and Marshall are the same way. They're both at 5-6, trying to get one of those final bowl spots. Kickoff at 1:30 Saturday in Boone. In the meantime, I do want to talk here about something else that happened this past week surrounding the football game on Thursday, and that was SportsCenter on campus. I know you were very involved with this. So kind of take us through everything that happened this past Thursday.
It was a lot of work from a lot of people, and I think it was so collaborative from so many different groups on our campus is what I think my favorite part is. Not even just the show, and I'll talk about that in a second, but the behind the scenes, it took so many efforts from so many different places on campus to pull that off. That's what made it so fun. The other thing that made it fun is the way people responded to it, the way students responded to it, opening the doors at 12:30 to the Red Wolf Center. And when we opened the doors, there was a line from the door to the Red Wolf Center back to Aggie, people waiting to get in. So that was awesome. ESPN, and I asked these guys,
it looked so good.
And I asked them, you know, look, they didn't want to go inside. They've never had to do one of these inside. And they didn't want to go inside. When they got there Wednesday and saw the facility, kind of saw what we saw in the Red Wolf Center, like, okay, let's do this. And then they came back and just, and literally their feedback was that, you know, Bristol was over the moon, loudest sports center on campus they've ever done.
I talked with Matt Berry for a good while before the game, who was the anchor, had said some good things on the air, but he echoed what you just said. He said it's the best one we've had all year.
And then the show itself, I loved how many different parts of not just athletics, but of campus we got to feature. To have the band there, to have the spirit and mascots, but to have, you know, the College of Agriculture featured twice. They provided the campus cuisine with brats and sausage from the A-State meat market.
Right.
And then they brought over the calf for Harry Lyles to feed and then share a bottle with, as it turns out, in the last segment. So to have the College of Ag step up so big for us. And then, you know, over the course of the show to feature football, obviously, but to have a baseball player on there, a men's golfer on there, a women's basketball on there.
Stan Jones
back.
Duck calls.
Yeah, so it really, we got to put Arkansas State on display for an hour. I thought we had a great plan of kind of the different touch points to localize it and make it ours, and then it all came together really, I mean, honestly, beautifully.
Well, job well done all the way around. It was just a great showcase.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to KavanaughCars.com.
And we welcome you back one more time to the Second to None podcast presented by Kavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. We'll talk men's basketball here. It was an extremely challenging week last week. Most challenging week of the regular season,
yeah,
for
really.
Sure. They fell at St. Mary's Wednesday, 85-72. And, you know, we talked about it here last week. That St. Mary's program is just an absolute beast of a program.
Yep.
But our guys really played well in that game. It was good to see Christian Harmon break out offensively. He had a season-high 21 points. He was 4 of 7 from 3. But, you know, even though the Red Wolves lost, it was the closest anyone had played St. Mary's all season long. And the Gaels had to play well in that game. They shot 50% from 3, and they also shot 20 more free throws than the Red Wolves did in what turned into just a 13-point game.
Yeah, good effort against a good team. And, I mean, you know, nobody's chalking up moral victories or talking about, you know, nobody had pushed St. Mary's at all. And they got pushed. Like, they didn't really get to kind of consider that win on ice until probably inside the last 90 seconds or so. They knew they had to work for that one.
That was one to build on. We were hoping it'd be kind of the same case on Friday. It did not really turn out that way. The Red Wolves falling at another really good team on the road, SMU, 100-69. That is a really, really good and very, very expensive roster that SMU has put together. They're going to make some noise in the ACC. That is a really, really good team in the making. They had won 24 games last year. They were a top seed in the NIT, and then they brought in the number 4 high school recruiting class in the country. Plus, they brought in the Conference USA Player of the Year from Jacksonville State from a year ago. So that's kind of a sleeping giant with that SMU yeah. basketball program. But the story was not just the score, 100-69. SMU kind of pulled away late after the Red Wolves had got it to within, I think, 14 at one point there in the second half. But it was the turnovers, 32 turnovers committed by the Red Wolves. And SMU led in the points off turnovers category 51-6. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, that's bad.
That was the bad. That was the really, really bad in this game. The good was the effort from our guys was just off the charts, especially on the glass. We out-rebounded that team 48-30 and had 21 offensive rebounds, which is a monster number. So the effort was there. They just got to protect the basketball. And look, if that turnover number is under 20, then it's probably a very tightly contested game, but it just wasn't the case the other night. T.J. Caldwell had a good night. He had a career-high 20 points. The Red Wolves now 3-3 on the season, and it's good to finally be home
yep.
for a while because they played a tough schedule to this point, and 5 of the first 6 have been on the road. 3-game homestand begins Monday against Jacksonville State. We're recording this Monday. Of course, this episode comes out Tuesday, so that game will have already been played, but then it continues against North Dakota State Friday at 2.
Yeah, we'll have more of the men's basketball schedule posters out enough, and the guys are going to do another autograph session after the game Friday. The kids that went through the clinic today, as you're listening to this on Tuesday, will be on the floor at halftime Friday. So you're going to be looking for a way to get reason to get out of the house, come watch some ball Friday at 2 with the Red Wolves. And if you really like watching ball or you want to help get ahead of the scout of North Dakota State, then you can watch them play Jacksonville State Wednesday at 2 for free.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, go out and watch a couple of Division I teams play for free. You don't get to do that very often.
And these three teams, like ranking-wise, RPI stuff, they're all right on top of each other. This is an evenly matched week of basketball here.
And to tell you just how tough the schedule's been to this point, the three teams that the Red Wolves have lost to, a combined record of 17-1. Stephen F. Austin's 5-1, and St. Mary's and SMU are both 6-0.
Pretty good.
All right, let's talk about the women.
Yeah, you messed up here.
I was actually excited about going down to Conway Wednesday. It's the first women's game I've been able to call in a long time. But Cade Carlton and I switched because of the schedule last week and me not being able to go out to California due to football. But, yeah, went down to UCA, and just got off to a horrible start. It was 19-3 in favor of the Bears, the Sugar Bears, 4 minutes into the game. And look, it's tough to come back from that on the road against a really good team. And UCA is a really good team.
They are.
It ultimately turned into an 81-58 Central Arkansas win. I walked into that arena, the Ferris Center, on Wednesday, and as soon as you walk in, the first picture on the wall to your right is Destiny Rogers.
There you go.
And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty cool. You could tell there were so many people that were coming up to greet her. She's just so well thought of around there. I mean, not only as a great former player, but, you know, she was a GA. She was an assistant for several years there. So that's a big part of her story there at UCA. But she was not happy at all with the effort.
She was not.
On Wednesday.
And I like that the media talked to her after the game, and she didn't hold back one little bit.
She didn't on her visit with me either.
I didn't figure so.
So I like the way the girls responded, though, because they were on the road again Sunday and were able to get back in the win column, defeating Jackson State 75-69. Bella Weary with 12 points in that one. Winter Rogers with a good game. She had 9 points and 10 rebounds. The women now 3-3 on the season. They'll be in the Bahamas this week. It'll be a really rough Thanksgiving for the women. They'll take on Houston Friday at 1:30 and then an opponent to be named later Sunday. Good luck to the women. Hope they have a great time in the Bahamas. Cade Carlton going back there for a second straight year. He's living the life.
Yeah.
We do want to talk about bowling here. The sixth-ranked bowling team closed out the fall schedule in a big way. They went down to Harahan, Louisiana, and won the Colonial Lanes Classic, hosted by Tulane. Ended up sweeping third-ranked Vanderbilt in the finals 4-0.
I mean, so Sunday, yeah, big day for the Red Wolves. I mean, started bowling, wrapped up that tournament win down in Louisiana. Then you had the women's basketball go down to Jackson State and get the win. And capped off with volleyball winning the Sunbelt Conference Championship. Those are the fun ones. Those are the types of days you sign up for.
All right, what else do we need to talk about?
No, just look forward to seeing everybody out at the bank some this week. I'll let you guys know just because of kind of the timing of it. Right there, the Tuesday night, next Tuesday night, is the UTA game for the men. The giveaway is a Christmas tree ornament. They're pretty cool. I'm a fan. Matter of fact, I like them more than I even thought I was going to. I think people are going to enjoy those on December 2nd.
All right. Make plans to be out there. That'll be the final game of the 3-game homestand.
People enjoyed those bobbleheads Thursday night, too, so that was fun. They went through all 1,000 of those. That took a while because it was a late-arriving crowd, as you'd expect.
Yeah.
It was a late push, but yeah, wasn't an issue getting rid of them.
Hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. Certainly thankful for all the people that listen to this podcast every single week. We look forward to joining you again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast, presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank.